Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Sometimes people think that the tasawwuf is indifferent to shariat, whereas the shariat is incomplete without the tasawwuf, and the tasawwuf is not right if it is not in accordance to the sharia. So both are integral parts. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, when he defined the tasawwuf, when he defined the tasawwuf, or he defined fiqh, he said ma'rifatun nas nafs ma laha wa ma alayha, to understand what's your obligations and what's your duties. Ma laha وَمَا عَلِيْهَا, understand your duties and understand your rights. Every person has a right and he has a duty. So understand your rights and understand your duties. Initially what has happened, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Khulafai Rashideen, they would manage both departments. Talk about the zahiri intizam of the sharia, they would manage it. Whatever apparent administration, be it namaz, be it zakat, or be it any implementation of any law, they would apply that. And if it was something connected to the batin, then they would also administer that. So they would administer both apparent and things that were discreet. But then after that, what happened was that people could not manage so much. Therefore, if you see in the day of Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, so there wasn't an independent office for qaza, judicial. But after that they found out that now the duties have become much more. So when the duties have swelled now, so they left this to one group, judicial, Yal Majduid. One group was assigned to do this. It's your assignment, you must do it. The work multiplies, and before it's either man had that demeanor, could do it, he had that capacity, could do it. But now you don't have the capacity, and the workload also has multiplied. Many a times I tell the students that when I started the madrasa, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, and I should do everything. Maktab child, Urdu learning, because part of the maktab was Urdu at that time. Hibs also, and then someone has to do kitab, so all was being done by one person. Then the work grows. Before there were few students, now it's more students. Responsibilities grow. So when responsibilities grow, the work grows, then you need to distribute duties. Give someone one duty, that you look after this. Give the next person another duty, that you look after this. So the same happened here. When things began to grow and they couldn't handle it, so one group is doing the zahiri administration of the sharia, those obligations that were visible, apparent, and then another department took the batin. Now we have to work on this thing here, get this thing right. Before it was, both was being handled by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or the Khulafai Rashideen. But now the work is increasing, is growing. So if we can have one person to do it, then the other work is going to be neglected perhaps. So you have someone to do that work as well. So both has to be done. So this is how things started off. Then in the batin, they had to first identify what is the main problem. What upsets the batin? See, there must be something that corrupts the whole interior. So what's that element that corrupts the interior? Right. Like for example, in your body, right, if the heart goes off, then slowly the organs begin to fail. Lungs is not working, or kidneys are collapsing, liver is got a problem, right, body is aching. So the root cause is the heart. So, if the doctor identifies, he'll know where to start off. Because he gets that right, then everything comes right. The lungs begin to work rightly, the liver, kidneys, everything begin to work rightly. But now, he's not looking at the root cause, he's looking at the symptoms. Is he going to get it right? Can't get it right now. He has to look at the root. What is the root? So then, in the self also, they went and looked at the root. What is the actual cause? So, the Chishti Khandan, they found that get the heart right. If you get the heart right, Allah, wa inna fil jasadi la mudgha. Allah wa hiya al qalb. So they found that the root cause is the heart. Now, you have to understand that in the Quran and the Hadith, there are words that are used, like nafs is used, qalb is used, ruh is used, right? And many a times, all these three words are one and the same thing. Like, the word nafs is used, right? But we know that when you're approaching death, then the malakul maut comes to pull the soul out. And the soul we say, ruh. Look at the ayat. Although tara idh zalimuna fi ghamaratil maut. See, person is in the agony of death. Although tara idh zalimuna fi ghamaratil maut. Wal malaikatu basitu aydihim. The malaika are striking him, right? Stretching the hands to strike him. Akhriju anfusakum. Pull out your souls. But what word is used? Nafs is used, right? Again, you'll find, Ya ayatuhan nafsul mutma'inna. See? So, irji'i ila rabbik. So, what is returning to Allah Ta'ala? It is the soul, it is ruh. But in the terminology of the Quran Sharif, sometimes the word nafs is used for ruh. Right? Sometimes qalb is used, like I said. Allah wa inna fil jasadi la mudgha. Allah wa hiya al qalb. So it is the same thing, but just that the terminology, you must be acquainted with the terminology so you know what's going on. And absence the, and not understanding the terminology, then you get things wrong. Right? That is why any science for that matter has to be acquired by the person that is acquainted. He is familiar with the science, then you understand it rightly. But if you're not familiar with the science, then there is problems. So, these Buzugan al-Din, they saw what's the problem. And they identified the problem with the nafs. Call it the heart, call it the nafs, call it whatever. But that's the point of identification. That's what they identified. Then after that, at the second, third level now, once one is, I said they distributed the zahir and the batin. Then The Ijtihad then try to identify what's the root of the cause. Right. After they found the root, then they found, alright, what's in the heart that brings about all the failure. See, like, the heart got something that's bringing about the failure in the whole system. So what's the element in the heart that brings about the entire failure? So they went to check that. So there's a lot of time, and Allah Bak inspired them. Allah Bak showed them that this is the cause. So when they examined the heart, they found that the thing that was bringing all the corruption, most of the corruption, or the main corruption, was pride. Now look at the hadith. See, look at the hadith and get a better understanding. See, the hadith is saying, "Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah." Then the person asks, perhaps it's Abu Zar, when he heard, "Wa'in zana wa'in saraqa, wa'in zana wa'in saraqa." Right, so you see this hadith here. Then you compare it with the other hadith. "Man kana fi qalbi misqalu dharratin min kibrin la yadkhulu jannata." Right? So here, "Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah wa in zana wa in saraqa." And here, you're getting a hadith. "La yadkhulu jannata man kana fi qalbi misqalu dharratin min kibrin." See? So the main thing in the heart was this element of takabbur. So now they identified, alright, first we'll check where's the main, identify the main point. And in the main point, where's the failure? The failure where it starts off from. See? So they identified that the failure starts off with pride, with arrogance. So now, then what is arrogance? You see it in stages now. What is arrogance? One sahabi says, "Ana uhibbu al-jamal." I like good things, right? Good looking things. "An yakuna na'alayya wa sawbay." All that must be looking well. I like to. So the Bishop said, that's not pride. So then what is pride? So the Bishop identified. "Ghamtu an-nas wa batarul haq." Two things he identified. "Ghamtu an-nas wa batarul haq." So the one is to despise, and number two is to reject. Right? To reject the truth. So one is to despise, and one is to reject. So this is now the whole identification process. But now, because this pride is an inner trait, it's an inner thing, right? So being an inner thing, it's not easy to discern. I can say I don't have pride. How can you say that I'm a proud person? I can say that, right? So now, then, for that, what's required is then you surrender yourself. See, you surrender yourself to someone that knows about these things. He understands these things, he knows about it. So when you surrender yourself to that person, then from that point, then you mustn't ask. You know, or why do you say that I got pride? Then you mustn't ask that. Because that creates a feeling of takaddur, right? The sheikh's mind, the heart, is not so clear towards you. It's obscure now, it's become unclear. Why? Because he thinks that this person feels that I'm pointing out the fault that he doesn't have. See, that's how he feels. How the sheikh will feel? He'll feel a reservation. Why will he feel a reservation? Because he will feel in his mind that this person is not convinced of my diagnosis. He is not convinced of my diagnosis. So when that happens, that you are not convinced of the diagnosis, now you're gone, khalas. Then the procedure to rectification becomes too laborious and too difficult, very long cut. The easy and the shortcut was, the minds were so clear, you were on the same page, you see. Sheikh says something and there you did it. You accepted it wholeheartedly. So now, it's possible that the Sheikh can make a mistake. You will not see 100% that he is on the right. But it'll be a mistake in his diagnosis, not in Sharia things, in his diagnosis. See, he says, you got some takabbur. Perhaps you don't have it. So there's a mistake, there's an error in judgment, right? But your fortune will be that this accepted. Why? If you're not going to accept it, then that's going to be leaving a trait in the heart that this person doesn't feel confident my diagnosis. Should. Look at the hadith now. Now you talk in a zamana, whatever you're saying, must try and support it. Before you just say it and roll it through. Saying something and you're rolling it. And now, people are, I said they're three husiyar. Before there were two husiyar, now they're three husiyar. Before it was easy, tell the person, so he come for a short while, do his thing, and you can see a remarkable change. Like I saw in my eyes, a lot of poor family people, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, around the 60s they had gone for Hajj. Many of the family people that I've seen, right? But there was a remarkable difference on their return. Like that, alhamdulillah, all were namazis. Even before Hajj, before 60s, they were namazis. And many of them were taban on the tahajjud also before that. But now after the Hajj, there was a clear, marked difference from 1960s. Right? Because now they start wearing kurtas. All of them were wearing shirts at that time. And I can remember those days. Smart shirts, smart trousers, all that. I can still remember. Some of my uncles now, they have smart ties. And you look at how they put on that tie. So all these things are there. But after the Hajj now, there was a marked difference. All that was thrown. And they started wearing kurtas. Then most of them didn't have beards. Some too may have had beards, but most didn't have beards. But from the 60 onwards, all start keeping beards, everybody. Every kurta and beards, right? But the starting point of the whole correction was the connected to the Hulbana Badri Alam Sabr. So if you had to say something, so it's on. Then why, what? Do it, don't do it. All went away. My one uncle was a little bit too smart now. He used to have, he changed his life, but he used to keep a ring, you see. Well, all are dead now. All of them are dead. So, all Mawlabadi have to do is pull that ring and throw it. He never picked it up again. But the confidence they had in the confidence they had, he said something, it's on, now we'll hold to this thing here, we will not move away. So there was no takaddur, there was no reservation in the heart. The heart was absolutely clean, both sides, I'm saying it, it's going, saying it, like how you bounce the ball, you're bouncing it and it's coming back, bouncing and coming back. So there is that. So the whole process was very easy, very, very easy. Like what I see, right? But now, the process is becoming complicated. And now you have to identify where's the complication. Because they also corrected themselves. And today also we're trying for correction. But why is it not so smooth like what it was then? So now look at the hadith now, right? رضي الله عنه قال Rasul arrived at Madina Munawwara. And Ansar, the date farmers, right? Mainly date farmers. Other business they have been doing, but mainly date farmers. So at that time they were doing cross pollination, Tabirun Nakhal. So they do something with the trees, the male and the female, and that thing gives a bumper crop. So Rasul discouraged it. And when I looked at the hadith, what I understood, Nabi perhaps must have felt that this is to do with superstition. And this bad omen, superstition, Rasul la tiara. He discouraged la tiara. So all this superstition, just throw it out, expel it. What is it? Just drawing the trees and expecting a bumper crop, right? So this perhaps is to do with superstition, and I'm disgusting this, I'm discouraging it. There's no such a thing like superstitious beliefs. Now to get some superstitious thing. People see five pigeons going, there's something will happen now, right? Right. Or they see one person now is walking, and one leg goes over the other leg, and he suffer karega. He's going to travel. And up till now, in all the Western countries, number 11 is bad luck. 13 is bad luck. So in some planes you'll find, you'll have 11, 12, then 14, no 13. So that superstition is so entrenched. You may think now it's not out, they still got it. They still have it. So Rasul must have felt that this is to do with superstition, and he stopped it. Don't do this. Sahaba Kira, they have that relation, rapport, right? Nabi must say something, they would carry it out straight away, they left it out. Now by the end of that year, they discovered that the farms didn't do so well like in the past. Now, see with the sheikh now, what's needed. One is, what he says, you execute it, right? Number two is, then you report to him, right? I asked you to do this, how are you feeling, what's the correction? So, relate and emulate. So they related. First they emulated, the Muslims said, don't do it. Then they found that they didn't have such a crop like this they used to enjoy in the past. So they related, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we didn't have such a crop. They're not disgusted, but they just wanted to know now, what do we do, how do we work from here onwards. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Antum a'lamu bi umuri dunyakum. In worldly matters, then you are more familiar, right? So you'll know now that you're living in a certain place and what's required there, right? The business will work well here, and how will it well? How will it work, right? So the businessman knows, right? I mustn't say 13 rands. When I'm advertising a thing, say one tile, I mustn't say it's 13 rand each. I must say 12.99. I don't know if they still do it. They still do it. But now you think the wise it is. It just affects the mind. Hey, this is cheap. See, this is not 13, it's 12.99. But the businessman knows it, and the client knows that there's no 1 cent. Before there used to be a thing like a cent, right? Now do you get 1 cent now? Know it, but it sounds cheaper. It sounds better to the ear, so they use that. Right? What sounds better? So antum a'lamu bi umuri dunyakum, in your administration of your dunya matters, you are more familiar. فَإِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ, but when I ask you to do about anything about deen, then you do to the best of your ability. Do it. But in dunya matters, where it doesn't relate to halal and haram, then you will understand how to run the thing, run it accordingly. Where it doesn't, so long as it doesn't cross with halal and haram. So you see now, I'm taking it from step by step. So, I explained that the heart, right? And the Shaykh's heart mustn't feel any type of reservation. Except takaddur, no reservation. So now, when there's no reservation on both sides, so as though the divine, the grace is coming, right? The grace now is coming and there's a strong flow. Flow is coming from above and Allah Pak will look for a source and from the source He will distribute it. Like you see in the world, there's a source and there's a distribution, right? Like rain comes, right? Then there is a source with it. You call it an encatchment, whatever, that water all collects. And from that point, then that thing is distributed. The blessings will come down on the Kaaba Sharif, then the blessings are then distributed to all the masjids of the world. Right? So similarly, you've got an imam or an alim from that area, as though he is taking the blessings and distributing into the community. Right? But the distribution will be well as according to how well the hearts are. The distribution will be good according to how well the hearts are going to be. So the distribution is the blessing is coming and then there is a process of distribution. But the distribution depends upon the goodness of the heart. Goodness of the heart. So now think now again of rain water, right? So that water is about the most purest, right? Purest. Anzalna mina samai ma'an tahura. The purest water you can think of is the water coming from the sky. So there's going to be an encatchment area, and from the encatchment area, water is going to come to you. Right? Alright. Nowadays, with all these interruptions in water and light, so people are doing their own encatchment. Sometimes they sinking a hole, sometimes they're trying to harvest the water from the gutters into a tank, right? So there's different methods that have been employed to catch the water. Now, the water came, when it came, was pure, right? But now, say for example, the guttering wasn't clean. As long as my mother was alive, then I won't use the rainwater. So she had a suspicion in her mind, all monkeys are not playing on the roof, so the droppings must be there, that will go and all that. So now just to keep her mind clear, then I won't do that, right? So, the water came down, was pure. But say for example, the guttering was not clean. Now, in Spingo, you're getting small birds, and you're getting big birds also. They're jumping onto the roof, right? Like in our street, this whole street, you're getting, what do they call the big birds? Huh? No, they say that, they're not big birds, they make a big noise. Huh? Adida, and you draw that peacock, right? So that thing can jump right onto the roof. And that thing misses, not like a chicken. Big mess, right? Now all that thing, water is going through the gutters into the tank. Right? So the water came pure, the blessing was pure, but the guttering was not pure. Because of that, so the water that you've got already in reserve, that water is not right. So you see, the guttering, as though the catchment area is the Shaykh, and you are the recipient, right? So if the guttering is clean, then you're going to get a clean flow. But if the guttering is not clean, then, see, something happened to his heart or to your heart. What's going to happen now? It's going to come, but you're not going to get that clean, pure flow. So now, you're going to mess up things. Right? You're not going to get what you're supposed to be getting. So they understood now that the first point is get this thing right. Right. So therefore, in the words of Allah, Tami Sabra, the first point that is required is irishtutriya at this point. Ertiqad and Ertimad. That's the first point. Ertiqad means that you need to have that faith, that confidence. Ertiqad, faith. He's the right person, right? Faith means that I have faith in him, that he's the right person. And Atimad, that I have confidence in him. I have faith in him that he's a righteous person. He is the right person. And I have confidence in him that he will also administer the whole thing correctly. So you have to have both. That he's got the right thing and he's going to administer it correctly. See? Like I have a faith in your shop, and I have confidence that you got right things, and that I have confidence in you that you will also pass things rightly to me. So you got the right things, and I've got confidence that you will definitely pass on to me. Right? So you need both. So they found that the main stumbling block, right, main impediment on the road was then takabbur. So that comes and destroys the whole thing. It worked so long and it just disrupted the whole thing. Now then, again, you want some hadith as a backup, right? So now, you know, before this road thing so simply, but now for everything you need to have a backup. So see, the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim Sharif both says, man works, right? Hatta yakunu baynahu wa bayna al-jannati illa qadra zira'in. He's working, he's doing good works, until he reaches a point that between him and Jannat is just one arm's length, right? Zira, one arm's length. فَصَّدَقَ عَلِهِ الْقَدْرِ فَيَدْخُلُ النَّارِ. Then taqdeer has the better over him and he's going to Jahannam. Understand? So he worked and it would seem that he's so, so close to Jannah. But at that last moment, he just went to Jahannam. Now, when does this happen? There must be some signs how it happens and when it happens. So generally this happens with sins that are discreet, not sins that are apparent. This type of behavior, with sins that are absolutely discreet, it's not so clear. See, I'll give you some stories. Almar Thami Sahib Rahmatullah says that I was in Kanpur. As I graduated at Deoband, then my father didn't want me to go into business or anything else. He wanted me to go and teach, although he was well off, but he wanted me to teach properly. So your whole mind must be there only in teaching. So that whatever kitabs I've learned in that duration, I must have a good command over those kitabs. If I go and do something else, then my mind is all scattered all over the place. But I'm doing just one thing, but I'm focused. So I stayed there in Kanpur for about 15, some odd years. And there was a good understanding, alhamdulillah, the public and us. There was one person, must have been my father's age or older than my father. So we used to call him accordingly, you know, like Abba or something, call him father or some respectable location. Regular namazi, tahajjud, Quran Sharif, all, doing everything. But now, just about a week before he died, so he then disclosed to me that, you see, when I was a young person, then I had a love for a woman, right? See, sometimes now you're getting woman now. At that time, now India was ruled by English. See? So English had some of their things, right? Now, it's not, you can't separate it from them, right? there's a lot of show in them, show, entertainment, sports. So a lot of, you see, a white light, that is about 60-70% is about show, entertainment, all that, right? Like sports, games, clubs, music, all that, all is white life, right? Cars, sports, right? So all that, that's white life. So, in that now, you also have horse riding. Now, in the horse riding, now, they'll have even men riding and women riding. So they have this, the show, entertainment is like an integral part of their life. But in the process, then they are not concerned about shame and decency. The show, it becomes even more prominent than shame, decency and modesty. So that show is such an important thing in their life. They're not worried about modesty, not worried about shame, etc., etc. Now, how do you come to that conclusion? You come to that conclusion that there's novels that you come across. What's the novels, right? And this videos, or call it whatever they call it, right? Movies, right? So, at least I would say more than 60% is all about love, isn't it? And they're loving it, they're enacting all those shows. They're enacting all those shows in that movie, they're showing it. How the thing started and how they're meeting up and whatever, right? Right? So they show it, right? So that becomes the culture. Then, at a school level, just as you're entering into, say, grade 5, or grade 7, right? Then they're talking to you about love, right? The songs about love, the stories about love, right? You look at, in the matric level, they're teaching Othello, right? What's that story about? Huh? Love story, isn't it? Romeo and Juliet, love story, right? And they're not worried also, sometimes, in the process of love, the absconding also, man is taking a girl and they're running away. Now, they're giving it, all these stories are given to children at a time that their minds are very impressionable. You know, this is how they plan, and, you know. And then they will, when this thing is instilled into their mind, then the child grows up to think that nothing must come, nothing must disturb our love. See, man loves woman, so nothing must come and interrupt. And to the extent that even religion mustn't interrupt our relationship. Now this I'm talking about, not from my pocket. We went to one place in Durban, right, went there. So the person is living, I should be about 74 something, right? So he's living with a Hindu woman, right? Professional, everything. So, in Tabligh Jamaat, you can't be too straight to be very meticulous how you talk to the person. So, in the process now, by what happened here? So no, you see, religion is in its place, but we don't want anything to come and interfere with our love. So she does her thing, I do my thing. See that? So nothing must come and interrupt our love. But now, where this idea comes from? It's from the movies, from the schools, right? This is where it's coming from. That's what they're teaching you. You look at the books that are being taught at the age of 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, same books. So the child is reading those things. When he reads it, then the thing sets in his mind. And then he feels that that's the culture to go with. Right? See how beautiful it looks, you know, how the story, how glamorous. And then at the end they say, and they lived happily ever after. See? So now that thing is going deep into the child's mind. And he feels that that's the way to go. See how it's, how the mind is warped. So, we are talking of the heart. Right? And I was talking about one hadith. Ji? Kanpur, yeah. So, just a week before he passed away. See what happens. It shows all that in that their style, their culture, there is no such a thing like modesty. There is no such a thing like modesty now. Now one white woman, and she is riding a horse. Now they got a lot of style, Don't underestimate. Tight clothing, and it must be an elegant look. And she's trotting with the horse now, you know. Now the person that's checking, seeing that for the first time, what happens? He says, that thing just went straight to my heart. That thing penetrated, permeated my heart, straight, jumped in there, finish. Then I lost the love for them. My wife, my children, everything, day and night, is just that thought, and it's just revolving in my mind, just that thought. There's a lot of things, but I can't. Now, 1 week before he died, he's saying to Maulana, he's telling more in confidence, that you see, that girl that I was in love with, I couldn't meet her, right? But that thought, the memory, from that point to now, my old age, it's already about 50 years, that's already stuck in the heart. If she's a Christian, I'm a Christian. If she's a Jew, I'm a Jew. See the words he's saying. So, they understood that فَصَبَقَ عَلِهِ الْقَدْرِ, you know, the taqdeer then overtakes him. Mainly is because of some very discreet wrong. See that he loved that woman, right? He was entertaining. He was fantasizing all the time. I ask you, fantasizing, is it right? Ask yourself. If it was right, then if someone fantasized with your mother or your sister, your daughter, would you like that? So it can't be right. He was fantasizing the whole thing. And he was just concealing the thing. But at some point he had to just divulge, he had to just come out. It's not a good example, but the best example that I could use, the air that is trapped in your stomach, you can hold it, right, for a certain point. Right, things now, serotonin, when you shout and all that, and then you're holding it. So you can hold it for too long. At some point that thing was just burst out, right. Then you feel so embarrassed. Don't you feel embarrassed that if it happens in public, you feel so embarrassed there. Don't you feel embarrassed there? You will feel embarrassed, and the others that are around you, they feel nauseated. Hey, what's this person doing? See? So you must have had a good reputation and good name for so long, but then one place things just slipped out of it. Whereas if you think of it from the other side, you know, from her perspective, that thing is in everybody's stomach. Isn't it? It's in everybody's stomach. But now this person, unfortunately, that thing just slipped out. And then, what happened? So, you see these sins that are discreet, that people don't know about, but you are keeping it within you. That's one sin. The Shaykh Hamdai says, there's other two sins that result in this. I think he's got it in Fazail al-Zikr somewhere. So there's two other sins that result in this. Just bikhu alayhi al-qadr. The other sin, the other two sins he's got, like it says, person divorced his wife. Right? So he's issued 3 divorces. But he's worried now, how will he fare, how will he look, appear amongst people? I've got children, I've got a family, in-laws. But now, just to protect his reputation, he carries on living with them. But now, think now, he's living in halal or living in haram. And the concern that is overwhelming is my reputation, what's going to happen to me? And how will people look at me? So that's the concern that is overwhelming. Whereas he knows, he's finished. All 3 are issued. So the woman is not halal for her. But then the thought of the reputation, see again, kibr. Me. What will be the end of me? So the thought of the reputation then amounts to takabbur. You know it. I said, batarul haqq. Your heart is in denial. You know it's wrong. But your reputation comes first in your life. So therefore you rejected the truth. See, batarul haq. I explained that kibar comes as batarul haq, right? So you know it's wrong. But now, logo ke saath kis tarah se rahenge? Ki log kya kahenge? What will be the end of me? See, me. That thing overtakes you. So that's the one thing, right? The second thing that he says that can happen, not limited to this, but فَصَدَقَ عَلِهِ الْقَدْرِ. See? Is, like for example, it's an estate problem, right? And that estate problem is not winded correctly. It's an estate thing, right? You got the control of it. Right? When you got the control of it, so you didn't wind it how you're supposed to be winding it. There's a lot of complications in the estate, right? Like for example, now it's a big estate, so you're supposed to be giving, your father died, so you're supposed to be giving your sisters, say, 1 million rand each. So you're thinking now, you know, I'm going to give out the 1 million rand straight away, then how my business going to run? So you're giving it to her in drips and drabs. So you got the control, but you're giving to her in drips and drabs. And then she's remaining silent because she doesn't want to be in war against you. She can't make demands. She will make a demand, then she knows that there's going to be a fight. So to avoid the fight, she's not making demands. But is that consent? Is that a consent? Not a consent. That she's silent. See the hadith, لا يحل مال المؤمن إلا بطيب نفس منه. His wealth is only halal if he's giving with a cheer, he's comfortable about giving it. But now he's giving, he's accepting it, but under duress, not with pleasure. And you think now she's consenting, so what's wrong now? The man is saying, no, see, the business can't run. If I'm going to give out the 1 million rand, straight the business will run. But he's not thinking other way around, that if I'm going to give her in drips and drabs, see, I was supposed to give you 1 million rand. Now I give you 50,000, 100,000, right? And stretch the whole thing over 2 years, 3 years, right? Ask yourself, can she do business with that amount? You can't do business, right? But now it's her right. It's her right. Now can she operate with that amount? So like you can't operate, she can't operate as well. So either in cash, you can give everything away, clean. Alhamdulillah, there are some people like that. About 3 months ago, someone passed away. So in 3 days, next 3 days, they came, the whole family came. So I put them in the mehman khana. There's a curtain. The girls are on one side, the boys on the other side. Alhamdulillah, in 3 days, they sort the whole thing out straight. Man passed away, I think it was on Monday. By Thursday they were here. And they sorted the whole thing out, big estate. In 3 days they cleaned the whole thing out. So she knows what she is eligible to, he knows what he's entitled to. Now is there any malice in the heart? Is there any reservation? But when we stress the thing, right, then it creates malice. So like you can have a mind of your own, she can have a mind of her own. Therefore, the comfort of his business, we need to just endure. But what about our lives? We also got children. If he's got children and responsibilities, don't we have responsibilities and children? If they have needs, we also have needs. So that's the one wrong that's across the board, right? And the other wrong in the distribution of estate, mostly in Indian side, is the man gets more favors sometimes from the father in his lifetime and after death. The man gets more favors in his lifetime, sons get more favors than the daughters. Right? Whereas it was earned by the father, now the father gives more to the son, and doesn't give his daughters like how he gives to his son. See? No, he's got a husband, they must sort themselves out. Now this is all Hindu thinking, not Islamic Arab thinking. Arab thinking is Nu'man ibn Bashir. And when Nu'man ibn Bashir, when radiallahu anhu, he's got a son that he wants to give him an orchard. So they come and speak to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give him his orchard. But you got other sons, yes, other children, yeah. But you gave them all equally, no. Then don't make me a witness to your wrong. It's a wrong. You're making me, appointing me as a witness to your wrong. No. Be equal in all that. So now, see now, this is where the person goes off. So regulating his namaz, all he's doing it. But towards the end, then either just to save face, then he pronounces a divorce, but he's living with the woman. He's living in haram. Or in matters of estate matters, then he's not right. So this type of sins, people don't know, but they are discreet. Those that know, but generally it doesn't surface. People don't talk about it. They don't know about it. But you know within your heart what I'm doing is not right. So that you see how it comes and attacks you. Right at the فَسَبَقَ عَلِيهِ الْقَدْرِ وَيَدْخُلُ النَّارِ. The deed has the better over you. That's the first explanation. Supporting the same thing, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, he quoted a hadith from Muslim Sharif. He says that this hadith also says, you know, where it stated, حَتَّى لَا يَكُونَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا قَدْرَ زِرَعٍ. Between him and Jannat is just a hand or an arm's length, right? An arm's length. There's one word there in the Muslim Sharif hadith, فِيمَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ. Else, what it seems to people as though it is just one arm's length between him and Jannat. That's not the reality of the ground. What it seems to people that is just between, just this distance between him and Jannat. See, that's how people are seeing it. People, it's what it appears to people. So his greater concern is not the relationship with Allah Ta'ala. His greater concern is, how do I appear? How do I appear amongst people? See, if your greater concern was Allah Ta'ala, then your whole outlook would have been different. But if the greater concern is, how do I appear amongst people? Then everything is chopped and trimmed and shaped just to create that impression that you are a good person. Then it doesn't happen. Fima yabdul innasis in Muslim Sharif riwayat. So again, we're talking about the heart. That is the pivotal point. So therefore, they start over the heart. Get the heart right. And the problem in the heart is then takabbur. I just explained all this, right? To make you understand where it stems from. Right. So that takabbur, the pride, arrogance, explain what it is all about and how it pans out. So now, Mashaykh, now they have seen all these things here. And then, but they see that person that really came from Islam. See, when people are just coming, ethical, right? What's in their mind? Ibadat. Is it in their minds that we come here for Islam? Correction. That Islam is like 5% of the work. 95% of the work is Islam. And Ibadat is just 5%. That's the proportion. Get yourself right. Get the mind right. The mind is right, then you will be a right Muslim, isn't it? You will discharge rights, duties, you will behave right. But you only got the ibadat right, and you didn't get the behavior right, you didn't get the values right. You're robbing this person, you're cheating that person, doing him down. And you know, I'm reading Quran, saying namaz, everything is in place, alright. So Allah Ta'ala will. What we're doing then, in actual fact, we're bribing Allah Ta'ala with the ibadat. What? Allah Ta'ala, see how pious I am. See, I read so much Quran, see, namaz, So like, just be happy, no? I saw you right now, so you see me right. Does it work with Allah Ta'ala? It may work with people, but it doesn't work with Allah Ta'ala. That Islah requires that get yourself right with Allah Ta'ala. The discreet thing. And the discreet aspect, you can't see it. So the Shaykh, in his experience, he will try and work around it. Where's the problem? And then he can identify the problem when you begin to relate. Relate versus doesn't mean now once in a year you're relating. No, no. No. Jal jal apne halat ittila karte rahe. Jal jal apne halat ki ittila karte rahe. Quick, quick. This has happened now, this has happened. You're showing what I mean. You don't give a concept. Now and then we just miss the takbir ula. Don't give it that. Give the story. Don't give a broad overall picture. Be specific. We're playing soccer there, and because you have to just score the last goal, and it took us another 3 minutes, and by the time we came, we missed out 4 rakats. We read our namaz separately. But just give us, just be sure, takbir and all that. There's a cover up story there. You have to be specific. Specify. See that takabbur. The takabbur is telling you, just conceal your fault, don't relate it. What the Shaykh will think of you. So you gave it a good glossy look. But you don't realize that that thing is. And the Shaykh sometimes, or most of the time, he sees that this person is not really honest. So I mustn't break head with him. He's not very honest. That honesty requires that he must give the true story, exact story, and then has such a relationship that whatever the Shaykh says, just do it. So now, he feels confident, the Shaykh's mind is clear, your mind is clear, and things are working. And it's rolling out. Hazrat Muhammad Gangoi Sabra, let's give one story how it works. See, understand how this Islah thing, how it works. So, the carpet he used to sit on, sometimes on the ground he's sitting, sometimes one carpet, sometimes like this two carpets, sometimes someone else will bring something else, will be a third carpet. Now, around that time, Hazrat Muhammad Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullahi lost his sight. So, he felt, now, how many carpets here? One, two. Us kalin ka kya hua? What happened to that carpet? No response. Now then, he became specific. Only Yahya, and Yahya is a special attendant. Wo kalin ka kya hua? So, और यहाँ से वो नवाब साहब आए हुए हैं तो उनकी उनके लिए हमने इसको उनके सोने के लिए हमने रख लिया है. We pull a nice thick carpet. The Nawab Saab, Nawab is like a ruler, prominent wealthy person. So we separated it for him to rest on it. Now when there's a clear rapport, then you get cracking from the first. From the first you get cracking. Then you don't delay. Now otherwise I have to consider now, say in this, what you think about, but I ask you that Islah process, has it commenced? That Islah hasn't commenced. Because now that same Islah could have been done in one day, that will take 2 years. So now, Hazrat knows the mind is right, and he's come for Islah, so let's start cracking straight away. So Hazrat said, Rahmatullah alayhi, that Nawab sahab ki yaha kalin ki koi kami hai, ke ye kalin utha karke waha par rakhni. That Nawab sahab, that wealthy person now, is there any shortage of any carpet by him that you have to pull out this carpet and give it them? So at least one third or one half of that Nawabi, you know, that mind, haughty mind, the 40 mind, that this collapsed. He came for the purpose, and now is correcting him. See, it's not about his aram, it's about what you came for. You came for a certain thing, and I need to correct it, rectify it. I'm not going to rectify it, then you'll say, see, I came to you for my rectification, and you didn't point it out to me. Then how am I going to be corrected? See, so, like you go to a doctor for an eye problem, and the doctor says, hey, your eyes look very good, man. So nice, smart eyes. And then, after 2 years, you say, no, now that eyes finished, can't do anything about it. Won't you swear the doctor? You know, I think it was still 20%, there was some vision in that. And then you say, you were praising my eyes, just to feel, make me feel happy. So they took it like that, it's a trust now, it's a responsibility, and I have to discharge. Anyway, now, I said about 40-50% of that haughtiness now, the nawab, you know, that he went away. Now, it's meals time. Normally, some of the more ulama that were like closer to him, they will join him in the meals. Like the Shaykh ul-Hind rahmatullahi will join him. Now the Shaykh ul-Hind was from a very wealthy family. His father, Mullah Zulfiqar Sahib, was at Qasida Burda. So he translated it to Urdu first. Mullah Zulfiqar Sahib. Coming from a very, very, very wealthy family. But when he came onto this line here, then he left all that. That show all that. Very simple clothing. I won't even make out now, a man is coming from that background. Such a simple process. Just one simple kurta and one lungi. You can't even make out he's a farmer, villager, a stately person. Can't make out. So that was his attire. And with all that, he will wash his clothing himself. See, to bring that humility, what they went to extends to bring about humility. Because they understood that that's the impediment in the heart. If we don't get that right, then we can't move on. So get this thing right first. We think we're working out, but are we going across? We need to get that thing right. So to bring that humility is what he's to do. Not only that, but now his relationship with the Shaykh was such, on foot he used to go on a Thursday after the sabak finishes to Gangor. It's about 25 to 30 kilometers he'd go himself on foot. And the next day he'll read his Jummah with Hazrat and his return on foot. No, non-fail every Thursday, Friday. That's the routine. See, I said relate and emulate. A person becomes like that. That's why I say we want to walk, we want to see be on the footsteps of the of our elders, but see their lives. What did they do? How did they? If you want that to be true about it, then if we want to be on that line, then see how did they relate. What did they do? Now it's meals time, and the Shaykh ul-Hind rahmatullahi sahib, he's thinking, I'm so shabby looking here, and this is a nawab. See how he's dressed up with the attire, apparel and all that. So he won't feel comfortable with my presence. Someone, simple clothing, he has seen cloth, and then for a man, dignified, apparel, all that. So he won't feel comfortable with my cloth. So very discreetly he sneaked away. Now, meals time, and Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib is asking, Wali Mahmood Sahib kaha hai? He understood what was going on. Intelligent, bright person. He understood what was going on. So the next statement now, see. Next statement was, agar in Nawab Sahib ko hum jaise fakiron ke saath بیٹھ کر کے کھانا ناگوار ہو تو وہ اپنے کھانے کے انتظام اور جا کر کے اور جگہ پر جا کر کے کر لے. باقی ہمارا آپ کا ساتھ موت تک نہیں ہو سکتا. ہمارا اور تمہارا ساتھ ہونا موت تک ہم الگ نہیں ہو سکتے. This is if the Nawab Sahib is uncomfortable sitting with people like us, simple, right? He must make his meals arrangement elsewhere. Otherwise, the relationship that I have with you, that is with life and death. Maut aur jeene ke saath hai. Marna aur jeene ke saath hai. It's not just for a day. So whatever was left of the Nawabi, 50% collapsed already, and the other 50% just went out. See? On the other end, see, in an Islam now, someone needs the takabur to be crushed. And someone needs to be endorsed. The CEO on the right. So now, he is confident that what I'm doing, alhamdulillah, my elders is endorsing it. He needs to be endorsed. He needs to be supported. So he's got the support. And he needs that takabbur, that impediment, that needs to be broken down. Allah Baktofi is equal.